Hello and welcome to Pro You Podcast, episode number 372. Be your biggest fan. If I was to die tomorrow, that'd be a great last piece of advice to leave the world with. I think that's where my success has come from as of late. Officially 8.5. I called it. Because I think the 8.0 on the ProU scale, the 8 gets it and sees it and understands it. But the journey from the 8 to the 8.5 is accepting, letting go, trusting. And that's hard. That's why it takes so long to go from an 8 to an 8.5. But the rewards of being an 8.5 are fabulous and fantastic at the same time. So there's this point that you get to where, at least I did, an awareness and a realization that you've removed your bad that had created space, and what filled that space was good, and where that good came from was simply from within. And that's why I didn't need to get or attain more. I didn't need anything material to feel better or be a better version of myself. I finally became my biggest fan. And that was in 2020. And I think right around my birthday. Because everything started getting better in March and then in April and in May and so on in lieu of the pandemic. And I felt humbled with gratitude. And it just elevated me. And like I said, I started cheering myself on. And I never really had. I was always, you know, the critic and the judge and hard on myself. Because that's what I learned. That's what was familiar. That's what was actually comfortable, like many of us. So overcoming, climbing that hurdle, which is an obstacle, you do become stronger. And again, I just feel like I've attained this sense, this awareness of going, okay, what are the moves now? Because they're little, they're small. You got to really focus. And then you got to be patient. You got to let them happen. And that's the tough thing. We want to fix it. We want to fix it now. We don't want it to take time. And we don't really want to be tested in any areas. Yeah. That world doesn't exist. At least not where we live. So I'm enjoying my journey. I'm not getting bored with doing this well. I love where I am. I'm loving my clients. I'm loving my interactions with the people that I interact with. And if I'm able to come out with another ProU podcast episode, my cup is filled. So here it is, number 372. Enjoy. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Glad you're here. Glad I'm here. So I dig starting out with quotes. I dig quotes. I don't know what that's about. I want to say college, and I started collecting them, and I just had to basically type them and print them out. You know, there was, you know, no computers way back then, so I had a hard copy, and then I transferred those, and I still have like my original list of quotes, and they're not in any real order, and they're not even that awesome, but I have no idea how or why I got so into quotes. Might be because of the whole ADD with reading. And I don't know if I have ADD. I don't read, never like to read. I'd read a page, I'd turn it. I'm like, I don't even know what I read. I read, you know, a single digit number total of books in my entire life, but not a reader. Love quotes. And I've always loved them, and I have no idea, but I'll read a quote, and if it just really resonates with me and it's short, I'm just like, oh my God, and I just get all fired up. What's that about, Tom? Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. But the thing is, even if I could go back, I wouldn't belong there anymore. Real eyes realize real lies. Well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of our own actions. I love that one. All birds find shelter during a rain, but the eagle avoids rain by flying above the clouds. Problems are common, but attitude makes the difference. Seeking validation will keep you trapped. You don't need anyone or anything to approve of your worth. Understand this, and you shall be free. There is a price to be paid for every increase in consciousness. We cannot be more sensitive to pleasure without being more sensitive to pain. Yin and yang. Unlearning abuse also means unlearning the abusive behaviors that you inherited as survival tactics. Heavy. Blessed are those who do not fear solitude. Hey. Who are not afraid of their own company. Hey. Who are not always desperately looking for something to do, something to amuse themselves with, something to judge. Only when you do not know yourself, the opinion of other people becomes important. I love that one. Once you master self-control and detachment, nobody can faze you. Last one. Reality is created by the mind. We can change our reality by changing our mind. Dun, 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 dun. So, a moment ago, I was on ye old social media and just happened to catch this video of a grandfather getting a pair of sunglasses for his birthday. He was 66. But these were special sunglasses. This grandfather was colorblind, born colorblind. Never seen a color in his life. So here he is, 66, grandfather. It's his birthday. His family's around him, recording it. And they're like, here, open this present. Opens it up, glasses, puts them on. And it was like the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen. One of them. This dude for 66 years had never seen color. And he was standing outside his house in the front yard when he put the glasses on. And he just stopped and looked and began to weep. And I thought, how many of us walk outside, look around the trees, the sky, the colors, and get overwhelmed with emotion because of its beauty? See, because that guy wasn't making it up. He had just never had it. And those of us that have it, we just start taking it for granted. Like there's just so many little things we just assume will be there, always be there. And therefore, we, in a way, take them for granted. We don't ever think we're going to lose them, and they kind of lose that specialness. But, like, it was just watching this old dude, and he's just fighting back tears. He can't even mutter a word. He's completely speechless. And not sobbing uncontrollably, because he's just transfixed on looking around. And in that moment, I'm like, well, everybody there can look around and see what he's seeing and try to feel what he's feeling. And that's kind of the thing, I think, with life. You know, I keep saying the same old story all the time. You know, I have less of everything I've ever had, but I'm the best I've ever been. I'm not doing that, like, toot my own horn because I want applause or affirmation or confirmation from anyone. I'm just saying this is what's possible. I've lost everything. I've failed at a bunch. I don't have much. Best I've ever been. Like, you look at that 66-year-old grandfather in that moment. You put those glasses on. He can see colors. You're like, what else would you want? Ever? And I know his answer would be nothing. He could probably use another car. He could probably use more money. Who couldn't use more money? Maybe a bigger house. But in that moment, again, something that, you know, sight's a big thing, but we all kind of take it for granted when we look outside. And this dude never had it. And I thought, well, you know, I was talking to a client and I said, you know, there is part of me that when I see like a happy couple or a really dope house or a house by the beach, I'm like, huh, I wouldn't mind that. But if I dwell on that, it's going to be just like dwelling on my bad. And that's what it is. You want to stay present. You want to stay right here, right now. So you're not doing the things you did mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, when you were the older version of you. And you realize that the newer version of you has evolved, has control over the space between your ears, but it's not because what you've attained material-wise, or what you've done externally. It's all internally, what you've done to control the space between your ears. That's what's important. So I sit here going, wow, you know, you can just wake up and go, wow, I woke up. Wow, I have a bed. Dude, four limbs, still attached, all working. I'm going to have breakfast. I know there's food. I can brush my teeth. I have running water. I can go to the bathroom inside. I can shower. Fresh, clean, running water. All this done under my shelter. I woke up in a home. I know there are people that love me. I know there are people that I love. I'm now going to the place where I earn income, where I feed my family, how I feed my family. I mean, it's just, but again, we got this to-do list constantly. Run it, get done, control things you can't, make more money, buy more things. And it's like, where is that headed? Busier you, more tired you, but not a better you. And again, that's like, that is the thing I am selling. Come to my well, by the water I sell. A better you is a better you. End. It will never matter how you got there if you've deemed yourself worthy and became a better you. You'll never complain about how you got there if you are the best version of you. And you will realize that it is not what you attained, how much much money you made, what kind of car you drove, how big your house was, how many friends you had. None of it matters. It's you and the space between your ears. And if you can't deem yourself worthy, if you can't find your value, if you can't love you, if you can't become your biggest fan, that will be your problem forever. And it's, again, it's like stopping the thinking process that's always just naturally occurred and going, I'm going to try to stop, pause, and think differently. Focus on some smaller things that I get that would really be a drag if I lost. And if I just start counting the things I don't want to lose, I'm really, really grateful for, just those things can really occupy the space between my ears. So I really have enough to be thankful for. And if I'm thankful for all I have, majority of the time, I'm going to stay in that place of gratitude, which is a pro-you place that you will never want to leave. And it will only get better. And you will get better at it. So responding is a whole thing I'm always talking about. And reluctantly, I've been doing it fairly well with my workouts. It's like we're talking 40, 41 years going to a gym. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I leave the last gym I'm at. And I'm like, okay, got dumbbells, got workout equipment right here, Zen Garden workout. And I didn't want to. But I wasn't in a bad place. And I kept saying to myself, are you the best you've ever been? Yes. Okay. Are you foam rolling? Yep. You're running? Yep. You're being active? Yep. You feel good? Yep. You're the best you've ever been? Yep. Okay. Maybe that ball that you used to juggle, you set down for a moment, and it's okay because you're still the best you. Now, if you're not the best you, maybe you got to reexamine which balls you're laying down, dropping, and setting aside and juggling. But right now, you're the best you, so keep doing what you're doing and be patient. And there it was. All of a sudden, I started these live workout Wednesdays, and I did like 40 of them in a row. And then I realized that that type of lifting was not boding well with my body, my body's alignment. And I'm like, I just can't keep, I got to record, so I'm going to lift. And I'm like, what I'm doing now is like, well, I'm not really lifting, or I'm just foam rolling. I was like, well, how can I record that? I mean, that's not, and all of a sudden, live workout Wednesdays were done. And those were legitimately how I kind of got back into working out and back in shape. And then I just stopped doing it. Why? Listening to my body. So I really struggled for like the last 2 years on trying to figure out what is a workout. I mean, I want to work out hard and have that great I worked out hard feeling. I don't really even sweat when I work out because I don't work out that hard because it's mainly foam rolling and I'm trying to get things in alignment. And if I pick up a heavy weight and I move it and I'm like, wait, this is not the right thing. I can tell when my neck, arch, my foot, a tight calf, something's pulling, something's tweaked. And it's been like that, kind of on and off for a very long time. And I'm constantly foam rolling 2-3 times a day at night, throughout the night. So if you're looking at effort, time, energy, I put way more into foam rolling than I probably used to and just working out. Why? Reluctantly listening to my body. I would much rather not foam roll or work out and just like, yeah, I pumped up, you know, my muscles are full of blood. I just feel good. You know, I'm laying on a foam roller for 35 minutes, 45 minutes. But that's what I have to do. So I started using a kettlebell. That was going well. And then same thing again. I felt kind of achy and sore. And I was just like, what is the deal? And it was always kind of like, well, my calves are tight. And I feel kind of certain things in like my arch. So it's like, was the arch out that's pulling on the calf, which is pulling on the hamstring, which is pulling on the hip, which is tweaking my back? and I can feel it in my neck. I mean, the whole straight line is connected, but I can never really figure out what is the, you know, what's starting it? You know, what's the point of origin? What's the thing I really got to focus on? So over this last month, it was really like, okay, now you're not really working out, but you're going to start stretching. You're going to start stretching these tight muscles in your calves to make sure that your hip doesn't go out, because I can kind of tell when my hip's out. That typically will kind of pull on the rest of my body, and my hip typically goes out when my calf is tight, and that can either be the calf's tight pulling on my foot somewhere, somewhere my foot's funky, which is pulling on the calf. So I'm like, okay, I'm stretching my calves when I wake up. I'm stretching my calves before I walk and or run. And I do that on the steps before I leave. Then the dog park is open by where I live. So I go there, and when Zen walks around, I stretch again. And whether I do walk or run, I come home and I stretch again. So that's three times now I've stretched my calves, my hamstrings, you know, that kind of lower extremity area. And then I foam roller before I work out a little lighter, only do X amount of moves, kind of get done and go, okay, let me see how I feel. And that's what I was doing. And again, it's exciting. You know, like this really good, oh, I worked out. I mean, even if you're really tired at the end, you just feel good that it's done, that you did it. And then just the endorphins and everything released. It's just a great high. And I'm like, okay, all right. You know, don't, you know, just, there's no big pump. There's no big workout. There's no sweating. It's just, I'm like, wow. But I kind of don't care anymore. It's like, I just want to get better. So I don't really get, and it was kind of hitting me. Like again, reluctantly listening to my body, but I was listening to my body. And these obstacles, you know, again, obstacles are put in your life to see what's worth fighting for. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have the alignment and the body kind of condition I have right now if I would have continued what I was doing. I mean, you go back 5-6 years, I was getting ready for some sort of half marathon or something. And during that, I started getting tight, and I started foam rolling more, and then I have some kind of breakthrough foam rolling, and this point hit me going, look, you can keep training for this marathon, and it's going to kill your body, or you can kind of just stop that and keep going with this foam rolling, because you're starting to realize that there's some movement happening because of how much you're foam rolling. And that's when I pursued, my whole back shifted and it got better. And we're talking, you know, in my early 50s, I was starting to go, okay, things are starting to feel better. And that's like, you know, 54 to 55, again, not working out super hard, you know, smaller, weighing less than I really ever have. I mean, not bumming. Again, I don't look bad. I don't feel bad. Everything's fine. But physically, I know I'm not as big and as strong as I used to be. So I'm not working out like that. I'm not lifting heavy weights. It's math. But I kind of got into this place where it's like, okay, these are the stretches I need to do before, during, after, every day. This is kind of the workout, and I just can't go super hard. And something about doing push-ups, doing chest, like the front of my, where my shoulder's kind of attached to my chest, that's the part that was just achy. It wasn't a muscle sore. I get muscle soreness. You kind of yearn for muscle soreness. But this was like achy. Like just to lift up my arm was like this little pain. And I'm like, well, I don't want that after I worked out. So I was really examining and, you know, trying to make sure everything I was doing in the workout was not hurting me in any way, you know, not stressing anything. And during the workout, I was making sure I was stretching all the kind of funky areas. And then when I got to a place, I'm like, okay, I'm going to call that it. I'm going to say it's done. I'm going to see how I felt tomorrow. And it was like that night, I'm like, man, nothing feels out. I'm like, maybe I'm on to something. Next morning I woke up and I'm like, man, nothing's like tight. Like I wouldn't even do something sometimes. And I'd wake up and my calf would be really tight. And I was, because, you know, my hip was out and just walking around. It's like it will pull and you're not even aware of it until you start stretching. But all of a sudden I was like, okay, wait a minute. It's like day two, like the next day. And I was like, well, typically that night or even the next day I can be sore or something, kind of go out. And again, it's like the next day. So I'm like, if I feel good, I'm working out. I want to do like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I've yet to really do a solid workout 3 times a week in forever. And again, mentally, that would have been a lot harder for an older version of me, but the newer version of me is really happy to be the newer version of me. And lifting heavy, working out hard is just not part of that right now. But I do miss it and I do enjoy it. So it's been this whole like, listen to your body versus what you want, what you used to do. And just be patient. And I was getting kind of excited because this past week was like the best week. And it was like, okay, I've got to do the third workout. And did all the stretching, didn't really do a killer workout. But in my head, I was like, that's the first time I've done 3 workouts. And I was doing like, you know, I'd work out 5-6 days a week, like for 40 years. So for me trying really hard to work out 3 times a week, because my body allowed me to. I mean, it's a whole mental, emotional, physical challenge. But again, these obstacles are placed in your life. You can be patient. You can choose how to respond. Or you can bum out. You can walk the earth complaining, being a victim. Yeah, again, choices. Make them good. Make them bad. They're yours. So in lieu of what's going on, as far as my workouts, I'm the best I've ever been. See, so that's what I have to remember. So as you evolve kind of this higher level of consciousness where you know you're a better version of yourself, you start going, okay, I get what I used to do. I get why. But right now, what's my main emphasis? What's my main goal? Well, I want to feel good. Do you feel good? Yes. Well, then everything's well. It's kind of like juggling. You got X amount of balls. You know, you're juggling 3. You feel great. You're like, well, give me 3 more. I want to feel overwhelmed. It's like, no, I like juggling the 3 I have and feeling in control and feeling comfortable and feeling confident. Like, you know, I have conviction in juggling these 3 balls. And I think that's a great place to be, a great place to stay. But you have to be aware of it. And that's a tough thing. It's a really tough thing to work on yourself and you know, be your biggest fan and support yourself, but yet push yourself, but be patient with yourself and avoid the old you and be excited about the new you. I mean, again, way, way easier to state and harder to apply. I'm figuring all that out. And I'll give you an example. I got a, you know, great client I've mentioned a bunch of times and I'm just a huge fan. And the first thing he did that impressed me was, you know, the people that I train online, we meet once a week. Whether we're chatting or working out, we meet once a week. And that's, you know, what they pay for, so that's what they get. So if you got thoughts, questions during the week, write them down, hit them up on your day. That's kind of my program. But these are people I care about. So if you're going through something funky, reach out. I mean, if you're going through a bad moment, you have something, reach. But I would expect you, I would want you to reach out to me. And this guy did. Midweek, bad day. Give me some help. And number one, I thought, this is why I like this guy. He asked for help. I mean, you know, he's a big dude, a big job, you know, 2 kids. I mean, he's in charge. He's the guy. And how easily it was for him to go, hey, having a rough moment, can you help? I was like, wow. So I answered, I did that, but I was just like, that's just like, I want him to know how great that moment was. And he knows he's way better than he's ever been. He knows he's handling everything way better than he ever did before. But yet, when it got a little too much, he reached out. I was like, do you know how hard that is to do? And that's why people don't do it. And I just, I was like, oh, like my respect just constantly grows for this cat. So this is what I replied to him. When you're in it, you are attached to the feeling you are temporarily experiencing. Separation. If you do not like the feeling you're experiencing, stop, pause, take a deep breath, or 3. Mentally, manually, shift your perspective to all your good, your blessings. realization. All of your good is still there. The bad, negative, has left because they are not important. You are in control of the space in between your ears, even when you forget. Trust in that. Let go and move forward. So I called this client and we chatted. And we were supposed to do a workout. We had planned a workout. I said, well, I want to chat about this week. What happened and what was going on. And it was just, and here's like kind of the point where I start talking about, you know, now it's the key. It's, you've got to be your biggest fan. Because he stopped, told the whole story, kind of talked about the week, what he went through, you know. It was just like, it's like he was telling a success story, but from a vista of just being kind of overwhelmed and tired and drained, which he should be. With everything he was going through, and he wasn't sleeping a lot. And he knew that, like, sleep's the number one thing. You know, I can't expect to be, you know, my best when I'm not sleeping. So I'm aware. I mean, it was like everything he was saying was spot on, right on, correct, pro you. And it's like, but, you know, sometimes a fish doesn't know it's in water. So even though he's doing it right, I mean, everything, he's just handling it. Because of all he's handling, what he's going through, the circumstances, not sleeping, he's not going to feel great. So like that 7 out of 10, trying to be the 8 out of 10, says, okay, I should feel exactly how I feel right now. This isn't bad. Because if I start going, okay, why are these things all feeling like they're too much? And I'm completely unaware of why, I might just keep grinding and digging and just going, okay, this is the feeling. And accept it and embrace it and own it. Because you just were too tired and drained. So you turned and you watched this movie and you got all involved. You got all attached to things and feelings that are temporary. So I was like, so I told this class, like the dude at the dog park walked up and within like 10 seconds, he's like, man, this lady, you wouldn't be what she just said. And I don't know this cat real well. And I said, close your eyes. Take some deep breaths. He started breathing fast. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I go, take deep breaths. And again, I don't really know this dude that well. But he slowed down and he kind of chilled. I said, think of all your good. And he did. And I said, think of your dope dog. And, you know, you're here with your dope dog and all your good and, you know, whatever you thought of. And his dog ran up to me and I said, open your eyes. And he opened his eyes. He's like, dude, that worked. I felt better. And the point being that it takes a little bit of time and energy to do that, but you mentally, manually shifted your perspective off of a yucky feeling back to your good, which tells you that stuff that came in, it wasn't important. It can be as real as you make it. It can be as bad as you allow it to be. Or you can just go, oh, that woman, it's her. That was about her. That person's comments was about them. Here's my good. I'm at the puppy park with my puppy that I love. And, da, 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 da. And that becomes your defense. And that becomes your shield. Now, number two, you just proved you did it. Like you were stuck in a funk. You switched mentally, manually shifted your perspective and you changed how you felt. So, you know, if I always say, if you get a bad phone call, hey, so-and-so's got cancer. An hour later, that person still has cancer. Well, because it's real. If you're like, oh, this person said something and hurt my feelings. Okay, 10 minutes, that might just completely leave that feeling. You might not really think about that anymore because it's not that important. But the other thing, that when people care, you have to realize that's winning. Like, I want to be a good parent. Done. Because you want to be means you will continue to try to be. But it doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect. It's always going to be well, and you're going to win every moment. So you have to have that ability to separate. You know, that fish that is in the water and doesn't know it, you got to step back and go, okay, wait a minute. I get this feeling right now. I'm tired. I haven't slept. I'm frustrated. My plate's a little overwhelmed right now. And I got to deal with this situation. Right out the gate, you're like, okay, I'm tired, I'm already drained, okay, I'm probably feeling like a six, so I'm probably not going to handle things great, so I got to be like extra patient with myself, extra kind of forgiving with myself, and go, in this funky moment, I have to know deep down in my soul that I am still the best I've ever been, doing the best that I can do, and that has to be enough for me. And this dude, more than anything, wants to be a good dad, and I know it. And he handles everything else so he can be a good dad. He just screams it, and I'm like, well, he is a good dad just because of that. And then I told him this, and it just kind of came out of my mouth, and he kind of got it because he's been able to separate work. Like, work is big and overwhelming and will suck you dry if you allow it to, kind of work. And he handles it and leaves. And he leaves work at work so he can come home and enjoy the ones that he loves the most in that home. And he's got that. He's already doing it. And again, another reason I love this dude. I said, well, like most people, they demonstrate their skill set through the screen. They tell me, well, you've demonstrated the ability to separate. Fantastic. Now, you've just not been able to do that at home. So now take that skill set that you proudly own and demonstrate in that area and apply it to this area. And you kind of get it when you start doing the work and you start seeing these things from a different vista. And it's like, okay, that separation. It's like, yeah, Because in those moments where, you know, kids aren't behaving well and, you know, you're frustrated and your voice might be a little loud, that's kind of human. You know, it's kind of what's going to happen. You're going to have some tough days with kids, and you're going to have some tough days as a parent. But that doesn't make you a bad parent. But it's that whole thing, like, you know, I don't want to be, you know, my father. And then there's moments through your life where you're like, wow, I'm a lot like that dude. So you're fighting, like, this whole thing. You don't want to be like that, but then you are that. And then you hate that part of you. And meanwhile, you're trying to pass on something. And what am I passing on? And, you know, it can be just so funky and overwhelming. And all that stuff is what can fill up the space between your ears versus, look, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know where my heart lies. I know my intention. I know I care. So I am going to control what I can. I'm going to let go what I can't. And there's going to be some tough love. And it's just two words. It's great, you know, description. Tough love. You know, there's times as a parent you're going to have to say some things and do some things and, you know, ground your kids, whatever it is. And it's not going to be a fun moment, but that's why you're in their life. So it was just, again, it's like talking to people. And my biggest thing, my last thing, and why I kind of go, yay, I'm 8.5 now, is because I kind of was like, hey, I like Tom. I think Tom's got some really great qualities. I'm pretty proud of Tom. And I've never said that. And that's not like I didn't want to. But I just never thought about it. I never thought, do I like me? Am I proud? I never thought about that. I had a bunch of junk in my head. When you start breaking it down and separating your thoughts and focusing and learning and growing and evolving, you start kind of picking up some things. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of something I think I need to do. I think I need to like me a lot. I think I need to like me more than anybody else. And that's when it kind of started getting a little bit easier. There was like no more judge, no more jury, no more critic, no more voice, just quiet. And I felt good. And I'm talking to this guy, and he has a dog, and I have a dog. He says, yeah, I was listening to your podcast, and you're talking about painting the Zen garden. He's like, wow, one day. And I said, but you have to remember, you have a dog, you have a daughter, you have a son, you have a wife, you have a big job, you have a career, you got a mortgage. You know, it's like, when I think of all those things, and if all those things were gifted to me right now, here, Tom, here's kids, here's a wife, here's a big job, here's a home, here's a mortgage, here's everything that this guy has. I have no idea how I would handle all that. So it's this thing where it's like, well, I'm listening to this guy in a podcast, and he's like, hey, do what I'm doing. And he lives alone with a dog. How can I do that? It's like, well, I didn't pick to live alone with a dog. I just responded to what life gave me. And I'm the best I've ever been, so I won. So in context of your own life, in lieu of what's going on, be the best you. Be your biggest fan. And no, you probably can't go to the beach, come home and paint a room because you have kids and a big job. But you can be present and you can be in those moments. Maximizing those moments. Separating feelings from those other experiences so they don't overtake you and own you. It's a lot of work. I mentioned this guy, like he's had a, you know, a big job for a long time. And I said, I bet there's dudes there that just work, work, work. And they probably bring their work home. They really don't want their, you know, kids or family, you know, messing up what they got going on at work. That kind of work's a priority. And I said, you know, those dads probably don't get tested. They probably come home, feed the kids and say, hey, this is what you're doing. I don't want to hear about it. Boom, you're done. Don't argue. And they go on their life. They're not tripping about, hey, was I, you know, should I have been nicer to my daughter? And then this is the quote I said. I said, dads that don't care don't get tested. They're not just dads, moms, teachers, everybody. If you care, you want to do good. You want to be better. You want to be the best you in those moments. That's why you're tested. So you have to remember, I'm at home right now with my kids, being a great father, being a great parent. No matter what's going on, that's where you separate yourself, going, oh, okay, I got to use that voice. Oh, okay, I got to put them to bed. Oh, I got to say no. I'm being a great parent, though, because I am handling this moment, and I know I'm the best me, so I know I have clarity, and I know I'm looking from the correct vista. And when you own all that, totally fills, totally occupies the space between your ears, and it will just give you enough to think about, to reflect on, and to be thankful for. Being your biggest fan, though, that's the key. So, as I'm talking to this guy, you know, there's a comment or something he said, and the fact that maybe, you know, I'm not struggling. Like, I'm doing all this stuff well and not having bad moments. And I said, see, that's the trick. I've mentioned to a bunch of clients, giving them examples, going, you know, it's like, Tom, hey, Tom, you know, you got a temper. It's like, yeah, I know. No. You really kind of got a bad temper. You kind of got a problem with your anger. And I just realized that flaming that, pointing it out, talking about it, knowing that I still have it, was not going to help me. I got to the point where I wanted to lose my temper, decrease my anger, and I was doing it. But because I still sensed it being present, and it will always be present, I had something to critique and judge. Well, there's always going to be a part of me that I can critique and judge because I will never be perfect. But if I don't stop that pattern, if I don't stop the cycle, that's on me. So instead of going, well, you still got a temper. Well, you still got, hey, dude, that temper thing, man, that's never going away. I was like, hey, are you better at handling your temper? Yes. How much do you despise getting angry more than anything before? More than anything ever. Like, I get angry and I'm like, get this feeling out of me. So when you're getting mad and then you're kind of analyzing yourself and going, I don't want to get mad. I don't like getting mad. I don't like how this feels. I mean, that's like the whole thing can just consume you. So I had to start going, whoa, whoa, whoa. How do I do this? How do I navigate? Like, I don't want to beat myself up so I'm in a funk, and I don't want my anger to put me in a funk, and I don't want to analyze myself until I'm in a funk. Just kind of want to accept me and know that I'm not perfect, but know how good I am and how much I've improved and how much I'm still working on all those things. And I just want that to be enough, because that's how I talk to my clients. That's how I talk to other people. I see they're good. I see they're 7 or 8 out of 10. I don't care about the 1 or 2 things that they don't do well, that they're not good at, that they struggle. I don't care about that. I just see they're good. You know, 3 or 4 of their good things is enough. And they got 6 or 7. And I'm like overwhelmed and I'm humbled and I'm fired up because I can see it with clarity. And I'm like, you got to be that way with you, Tom. You got to let your good shine. You got to see your good in lieu of the flaws and in lieu of the bad. And that's kind of how I've been this year. I mean, I talk about it, you know. 2020, turning 55, and I was just stoked, and it was a great month and a great birthday, and I was just in this place where I was my biggest fan. And then COVID, you know, pandemic, and nothing really changed. And I was like, wow, this is it. Like, I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful in all circumstances. I focus on what I can control. I'm the best I've ever been. Done. But then people will hear that. And they've been hearing it since March. How good I'm doing, how good I'm doing, how good I'm doing. And I don't talk about things. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not going to flame any fires. You know, people get on and they're like, I'm a victim and this person, you know, and they amplify it and they shout it out. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm good. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to fall to my knees and be thankful every day as I am today, as I was yesterday, as I will be tomorrow. But when I was talking to this guy, I could see and hear a couple of things he said. I was like, well, you know, you're doing good, Tom. I'm not. And I was like, well, heads up here. Let me. And this is where I'm kind of bringing it all around full circle. Is, you know, my, I told the dude, I said, you know, my anger's not gone away. I'm the best I've ever been. I'm great at things I sucked at. I'm good at things I never did before. I use words I never understood before. And I said, but just a couple weeks ago, I'm driving to the beach with Zen, and it's a deep groove. And I understand it. I didn't really get mad. It wasn't an anger thing. But people that mess with you don't want to curse, F with you. Those people bother me. And I always kind of think, like, if I'm walking and some dudes will do that with me, then he'll do it with someone who's smaller than me or a woman or someone, you know what I mean? Some crazy guy out there. So I always kind of think I got to be the one to spank some of these people, you know, not let them do this. And I just hate when people just F with you because whatever, they're having a bad day or they think they can or whatever. So I've said before with people online, it's like keyboard courage. And I'm like, would you do say if you were live with that person? You're sitting behind your keyboard and you're chatting away, saying things. And I'm like, yeah, would you say those things to someone's face? So I'm driving and I'm going to pass this guy, but I'm going to go into the fast lane for a second. As I'm signaling to go into the fast lane, just so I can get around this guy, this car, he's like, now he's speeding up because he wants me to pass him. And I'm like, okay, dude. So I just get around this car, and I pass him, and I get out of this guy's way. I'm like, okay, there, I'm out of your way. Well, home skillet just freaking cuts in front of me like he's going to go, there, now I cut you off. And I'm like, what are you, like, I wasn't cutting you off. I was passing this slower car, and I got in your lane for a minute, and then I got over. I wasn't cutting you off, and the only reason it was closer than it would have been is because you started to speed up. So I turned, you know, left and started going in the other lane. I'm like, I'm just going to pass him. And he cuts into my lane, pushes me into the shoulder. There's a car ahead of me. So I just keep going on the shoulder past that guy. And then I'm like, okay. I'm like, now I'm not mad, but I'm like, you wanted my attention. Now you have it. So I got behind him and I'm like, okay. And then he starts slamming on his brakes. Now we're going, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour. And he starts slamming on his brakes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I wasn't speeding. I just stayed behind him and I just followed him. And twice he kind of started going over to the other lanes and was going to exit and saw me following him and got back on the highway. I stayed on the highway. Went to another exit, was going to exit, and they turned. And I'm behind him, watching him zigzag all over him. I'm just following you. I said, you're going to stop, your home, your gas, a street, somewhere, and I'm going to get out of my car, and I'm going to walk up to you, and I'm going to go, okay, now you don't have the 2,500 pounds of metal around you. What are you going to do? And that's full-on reality in my head. It's nothing, like, I didn't even plan on sharing that, because it wasn't a big thing. It was like, okay, there's a little bit of my thing flaring up, whatever. But he finally exited, and I just kept going. I'm like, well, that was enough. Because I knew he didn't want to pull over with me. I knew he was avoiding me. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't F with people just because you have a car and whatever, you're having a bad day or whatever it is you're going through. So there's part of me is like, always been like that. Always been like that. But I was aware I wasn't mad. I wasn't screaming. I wasn't yelling. I wasn't anything. I was totally calm. But when all was said and done, I was like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, though. Like, I can just tell, like, there's this checklist in my head. Like, how fast I drive. Like, I'm driving slower. Okay, I'm just going to drive this way. I'm just going to drive in this lane. Like, I keep checking these boxes and becoming less and less of me. Less and less of that guy who's going to poke bullies in the chest. Tell every bully to not be a bully. Just, you know, there's just too many out there. I'm just getting tired. And I didn't have really a big problem at all. I didn't waste any time. I didn't waste any effort. I didn't waste any energy. I didn't have to do anything. But my attention was on someone that had nothing to do with me. And I'm like, from now on, you're just going to stay that passive guy now. And it was a weird thing. Like, to me, it was a good thing. But I tried to explain to this guy, I go, well, there you go. You're listening to the podcast, you hear how great I'm doing and how wonderful I'm doing and how great things are going. I said, but I'm still struggling with the things I struggle with. It's just that I'm a big fan of me now. And I see my intention. I don't get on the road trying to mess with anybody. I don't ever try to mess with that. You know, I got my head down. walking Zen. I got my head down. I stick to myself, walking on the beach, head down. I don't, you know, I'm not looking for anything with anybody at all. Like, I avoid people. But it's always been that thing. I know it comes from my father. My father just effed with me. Just did. Way into adulthood. And so now that's the nerve. And, you know, again, you fight your whole life and spar and you do all that and street fight. You kind of learn a little bit about who's real and who's not real. You know, who's loud and you can call their bluff. And I've always had that ability. You know, I've seen some psycho people that I've walked away from going, yeah, I don't need to deal with that. This dude in the car was just nobody, just completely nobody. But since he had a car, he just thought he was going to be a tough guy. But again, in that moment, that's Tom. I can't hate that side of me. I can't bum out. Wow, look at you still doing it. It's like, you didn't get mad, you know. Your blood pressure didn't go up, didn't get excited. But now next step. And I'm, that was the dope thing. It was like this natural thing that once it ended, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again. So I just wanted to share with this client going, look, see, that's the thing. We have to live our life focused on the good, focused on the wonderful, focused on our blessings. Talk about that. That's the fires that we flame. And it's not because we're perfect. It's not because we don't make mistakes. It's not because we've become unflawed. So I found an article. Buddha Groove. I just think that's a great site for me. Buddha Groove. Mindfulness for anger. See, so again, this is me. Wouldn't even have thought about it, but I got the Buddha Groove email and I went on there and there was one. I said, well, there it is. I'm constantly working on my anger. So let me read this thing. And like I said, you know, that's kind of my point to that client. I love being me. I love me. I'm the best I've ever been. Still working on things. But that does not take away from me being proud of me. A furrowed brow, steaming ears, heaving breaths, anger looks a little different on everyone, but no matter your personality or temperament, anger is something we all encounter from time to time. For all its unpleasantness, anger is a perfectly natural and human emotion. And see, that's kind of the point. Of course, when we speak of anger, we're not referring to aggression, which is a different phenomenon altogether. Aggression, which manifests as hostility directed towards others or ourselves, is never justified or okay. Anger is a response, but aggression is a choice. See, now again, it was kind of great to read that, going, well, I'm not being aggressive. I had some anger. It's like, well, there's an improvement. Way to go, Tom. While aggression is a no-no, anger in and of itself provides useful information. It lets us know that we've been hurt, that a boundary has been crossed, or that our needs aren't being met for some of us. And that to me is a boundary thing. I got those boundaries up there. Someone crossed it. I'm like, hey, you crossed that boundary. I'm going to tell you, tap you on the forehead. For some of us, anger might be a way of coping with pain. Experiencing profound anger might be our body's way of telling us that there is something deeper we are trying to avoid. The next time you find yourself fuming, try following mindfulness exercises so as to feel, accept, and learn from your anger without being overwhelmed by it. That's really a great line. I really believe I'm learning from my anger without being overwhelmed by it. So whatever your little squeaky wheel is, it's trying to learn from it and not be overwhelmed by it so you're judging and critiquing yourself. 1, begin by recognizing you are angry. Take a moment to sit and confront your feelings, telling yourself that anger is natural and okay. Again, saying that you're okay. Don't judge, don't critique, saying you're okay. If I punch you in the arm, your arm's going to get red. It's going to hurt. Fact. Don't get into it there. You know, just, it's okay. That thing happened. Okay, that made me angry. Okay, I got that. 2, cut off your anger's energy supply. Stop replaying specific stories in your head. I do all the time. Or telling yourself how unfair everything is or how you were wronged. for at least a moment, do your best to leave behind the person or thing who got you fuming. 3, bring your attention to your body. Are there any places that might feel neutral or less touched by anger, less agitated or clenched? Focus on these sensations, taking in deep, slow breaths and then exhaling. 4, now bring attention to the parts of your body that feel anger or tension. Where is the anger in your body? In your head, your hands, your jaw? Are there any other emotions that go alongside it? Are you embarrassed? Are you anxious? If so, don't be afraid to name those emotions for what they are. As you feel the anger in your body, consider what it might be trying to tell you. What is your anger? What is the anger's message? Have you been hurt? Does a part of you feel violated? Take the time to ask what parts of you are responding to the anger. Being angry involves an I who is upset. Ask yourself who that I is. Is it the inner child, the romantic partner, the creative soul? 6, continue breathing. As you explore the anger, you may reflect on how you can respond to the rage at this moment. This can mean taking a walk, exercising, listening to relaxing music, or writing down your thoughts. You may even find healthy ways to address the source of the anger. Say if someone hurt you or a boundary was crossed. If that's the case, commit to taking deliberate and thoughtful action when you have cooled down, rather than stewing or become passive-aggressive. Like all emotions, anger eventually passes, but learning to process it and sit with it means we confront it rather than our body absorbing and burying it. And again, that's the point. I'm confronting it. So I have to be like, way to go, Tom, because that's not a fun thing to confront it, but way better than absorbing it or burying it. If you find yourself persistently simmering or regularly losing your temper over insignificant incidents, it might be worth exploring the issue with a counselor or licensed professional. Remember, for all of its usefulness, anger is never something that you should grow accustomed to. And again, one of my favorite quotes, anger is a sign of weakness. Now, why would that be? Why would that quote be one of my favorites? Because one of my big issues was my anger. And I want this big, bold sign to be like, remember this. You know, that whole, shut up. I kind of joke with clients. That's what I do to myself. Like, I don't want to be slowly, passively altering my path. I want to stop some stuff right now, end it forever, and do it differently from this day forth. So deeming yourself worthy is making choices that you believe will benefit you even if no one else understands them. And then it's trusting yourself. And then it's liking yourself and being proud of yourself and loving yourself and supporting yourself and really, really, really becoming your biggest fan. I think that's the difference, because then you realize I'm better. I'm still growing. I'm working. That means I'll keep heading that way. Wow, how thankful am I? It's 8.5. You are worth it. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You moment. I didn't exactly make up the words Pro You, but I sure do love them. And it just encapsulates what it says at the end. Pro You moment. It's just a moment for you to be all up in you, all about you. Selfish in a very, very positive, proactive way. So let us begin to enjoy this moment together. Controlling that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs crossed if we can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into the spine. Let's draw that inhale in the nose, exhale out the mouth. We're going to focus, we're going to be centered, we're going to be present, and we're going to watch, feel, experience our breath. So focused that we'll block out everything else, but if anything else enters, kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. Congratulations. Another successful Pro You moment. You know, there's self-help books and self-improvement and self-love and It's all talking about you, the most important person in your life. How can I say that? Well, take you out of your life. What do you have? I know there's important people, and I know there's people that you care about and people you love, but you need to be your best you if you love people. If you care about people, you need to be the best you. They deserve that. You owe it to them. You owe it to yourself. So that pro-you journey, that journey of self-discovery is not easy. You're just worth it. And you may not be learning precisely what you thought you might. Your chosen endeavor might take a sharp turn, but it's how you respond. It's about being thankful in all circumstances, in lieu of what might be happening around you, because there's always at least one thing to be thankful for. But there's actually a bunch of tiny little things that we just kind of take for granted and assume they will always be there. And therefore, we kind of get to wonder about what ifs and why nots and how comes. And that's wasted time and effort. So if we can focus that time and effort on ourselves, choose our response, deem ourselves worthy, we will find our way. We will find our path. We will find our truth. My story is an example of that. It's what's possible. If I can do it, trust me, so can you. Peace and God bless.